Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Thursday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great day to this point. Elliot Freeman, we talk to him every Thursday at this time. Sportsnet, 31 Thoughts is where you can find his work. Elliot, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. Good, guys. How are you guys doing?
We've had a fun show today. Terry Crisp got things started in the first hour, and story time with Crispy is just the best. We had a lot of fun in the first hour. Yeah.
And I wouldn't have even come back for hour number two. Like, I would have just said, it's over.
Well, we had Austin Watson to kick off the second hour, so
it just kept going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting conversation with him. And I wanted to start with another interesting conversation we had a couple of days ago. We had Joel Ward on, who, of course, former Predator, just announced on the Players Tribune that he was officially hanging him up. I know he hasn't been in the league in about a year and a half, but great conversation with him. Great guy. What are your thoughts on Joel Ward?
Well, my thoughts about him are, you know, we all love long shots in life, right?
Yep.
Guys who, you know, make it when all the odds are against them. And you think about his path, he's in the Ontario Hockey League, and then he goes to play several years of Canadian University hockey. You know, very few people make the NHL on that path, but he did. He beat the odds, and I think anybody who beats the odds to play one game, that's impressive. Someone who beats the odds to play over 800 regular season and playoff games, that's really impressive. I mean, you knew Ward. He was he's an easygoing, nice guy, easy to get along with. And, you know, in the notes yesterday, I wrote about a story that Brent Burns told me. And, you know, Brent Burns was a guy who early in his career, he missed a meeting and he got in a lot of trouble because of it. So he became one of those guys who was really early. He said that if he had to be on a plane 30 minutes before a flight, he'd be on 75 minutes before a flight. He'd be there by himself. And one time, he's driving to the airport in San Jose for a road trip, and Joel Ward asks him to pick him up, and Ward's running behind, and Burns is freaking out, and they get to the airport, and Ward's forgot his passport. And Burns says, I'm freaking out for him. Like, you forgot your passport. Whoa, we're in trouble here. And Joel Ward told him that he had a university professor who said, look, it happened. It's over. There's no point in freaking out about it. You can't control it. So you better just have to deal with it. And Burns said he really admired. He says, I can't think like that. But that was one reason that Joel Ward was as good as he was and was as good a teammate as he was, because he said the past is the past, and now I'm going to concentrate on the present and making sure nothing I can control as much as I can control for the future. And I think that's a great way to think. And I think if you think like that, particularly now as we're going through all this stuff together, it's so important. Mentality and mindset is so critical, and obviously Ward had a great one.
Wow, great story. I was talking to a very close friend of mine who's an NFL scout, and he's also a huge hockey fan. So once we got past the draft and everything, I'm talking about that, he was asking me some hockey stuff and, you know, about coming back and what have you. And he posed this question. He said, mm-hmm. How do you think a lot of these players are going to handle, or do you think there's going to be players who are going to say, I love the game, I love what I do, this is my life, I love the paychecks, but I've also got three kids at home and a wife that I adore, and I don't think it's safe. I don't think it's a good idea for me. Or maybe they've got a circumstance of, my wife is due, like when we go back. In 2 months, we're expecting mm-hmm. our first child, and I mm-hmm. would be away. You know, just a lot of circumstances that could absolutely be in play. And he would say, do you think that stuff is going to go on? And I said, well, I don't know, but I suspect yes. And he's like, well, how do you think that'll be handled? And I said, I don't know. I mean, you tell me. You've been a coach. You know, you've been in NFL locker rooms. How would that go in that sport? And so it is a unique dynamic that's going to have to be discussed with the PA. So, Elliot, I'll turn it over to you. How do you think that's going to play out?
Well, you know, I think that that is being discussed. I think it's very much part of the conversation. And the tough thing for NFL players, as you guys know, is that they don't have guaranteed contracts.
Yep.
And, you know, the one thing I always say to people is I don't like to judge anybody else's family situation. Like, we all make choices for our family. Sometimes the choices come down to what is the health of our family members? How much money do we make? How secure do we feel in our jobs? You know, what's the situation of the team? Do I really feel I have a responsibility to help the team? Things like that. I think everybody looks at things differently. I think the tough thing for the NFL is a lot, like in the NHL, most contracts are guaranteed. There are exceptions like buyouts or that. And I think that gives you a bit more security to say, okay, I can make those decisions. I think if you were ever in a job where you don't have a guaranteed contract and, you know, you feel, oh boy, I'm not as secure in my job. It's going to be job first and family second. I can understand how that happens to people. I think there's a couple of things in the NHL. For one thing, the captain of the Vancouver Canucks, Bo Horvat, you know, his wife, I believe, is due with their first child in June. Like if, I don't think we'll be playing games in June. I think it's more likely we're playing in July if we play. And, you know, I would think that in that circumstance, both the Canucks and the player would probably say, if they can, you know what, you're going to be there for the birth of your child. And I would hope that's the situation, if that's what everybody wanted. I think the big question, guys, is what if you have a pre-existing condition? What if you're diabetic? You know, what if you have asthma?
Yep.
You know, those are some of the conditions that we've seen are you really lack defenses against COVID-19.
Cancer and survivor.
A cancer survivor, and there's a couple in the NHL. So I would think in those situations, the player's not going to play, but I don't know. But the other thing I was wondering, guys, is what about the coaches? You know, the coaches, what's the average age of an NHL coach? It's got to be in the 50s, right? It's high stress. You're on the bench with the players. Like, that's one thing I'm wondering about is how do coaches feel about all this?
That's a great point. Elliot Friedman is with us. So, Elliot, other than that, what would you say right now is the biggest thing? Like, for example, are they confident enough that this is going to happen, or at least they're going to try to make this happen, that they have told players who are out in Europe somewhere or in their hometowns, not near their team, to start making plans to come back? Are they that far with it yet?
I was actually speaking to someone today who told me that his team had reached out to him and said, you should be thinking about how you're going to get back here. So the answer to your question is not officially, but after that memo went out yesterday that they're looking, like they're in what's called stage one right now, where everybody is where they are and they're supposed to be, you know, self-isolating with their families, right? Doing what you're allowed to do in your regions.
Right.
The next phase was phase two, which is that teams can open up their practice facilities and workout facilities to small groups. You could have small groups working out. You could have small groups skating. Like, for example, I don't know if there's any guys who live in Nashville but don't play for the Predators now. You guys would know better than me. Like, in that situation, a player would be able to go to your facility and say, hey, I'd like to skate. But they don't have to be a Predator. They sent out a note yesterday that was called phase two, that they're looking to hopefully do that if things continue positively sometime around May 15th, maybe a bit later. And those guidelines are scheduled to come out next week. Now, I was told today by one player that unofficially, because he says nothing's official, but his team kind of told him to be ready around May 15th. And he spoke to some players on his team that were in Europe, and they were saying, we're starting to look into it. So I think we're at the point where you're going to see some guys try to figure out what their movement will be and what their movement can be.
Hmm. We've been kicking this around a lot, Elliot, and that is if you are – forget about the players even for a moment, but if you're the general manager or a coach or anybody in the hockey ops department and you're sitting in the camp of the Ducks or the Senators – or obviously the Red Wings, you know, teams that are out of it, are they really going to have much momentum to play? Like, what? How much incentive do they really have to play? And do you think it will that will be a natural thing that just happens out of all this, that some of these teams are not going to really want to restart this season? They're content just sitting on the sideline and letting the other teams play out the rest of the season.
Well, two of the guys who've come out and made it very clear that they're not crazy about playing are Drew Doughty of the Kings and Philip Deneau from the Montreal Canadiens. And both of those, are like, the Kings are not going to the playoffs, and the Canadiens are likely only going to the playoffs if there's 24 teams. So I think that tells you right there that there's guys on those teams that are not really thrilled about it. I think there's a couple of things here. Number one, this does have to do with local TV revenue. You know, like if you get up to, see, I think they'd like to get 82 games. Maybe they only get to 76, but I think they'd like to get to 82. In those situations, you don't have to, like you keep money from local revenue, from local TV deals. You don't have to give it back or issue credits or anything like that. And I absolutely think that's a factor. The other thing, and somebody actually made a good point to me on a radio interview that I was doing this morning, you know, if we don't start next year until December, which I think is a very real possibility, then you're going to have, if those guys don't play, you're going to have guys who don't play for 9 months. You know, we finished in March. So if guys like Detroit, for argument's sake, don't come back, there could be guys on that team who don't play an NHL game for 9 months. Mm. How does everyone feel about that?
Yikes.
That's a long way.
And then what if those guys start getting injured? You know, because that'll be the first thing everybody brings up, right?
Well, I think one thing you're going to see, guys, and is that, you know, your best prospects or your best players from Milwaukee, they're coming with you. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, normally a roster's 23. I don't know if they expand the roster or just say you've got a taxi squad, but I wouldn't be surprised if you've got 5 to 10 guys from Milwaukee coming with you.
Elliot Friedman is with us from Sportsnet. Something that I was, you know, I've kind of been thinking about and I've read in different places. I think you've talked about it on the show as well, is we know that some GMs have signed some players to contracts, a lot of the minor league guys. They've gone ahead and gotten that taken care of. But when we hit free agency and we hit, you know, renewing contracts, do you think we're going to see a lot of more backloaded contracts because how the salary cap could be affected by the stoppage?
I have heard that rumor, yes. I do think some players will try to do that, but I also could see some teams wanting to do that. And the reason is because for ownership cash flow and things like that. I've heard reasons on both sides why that could happen. You know, I think the other thing, too, is, and I don't know how many of these Nashville has. I know for a long time you guys were against it. But there's a lot of players who get big bonuses on July 1st every year. Toronto does that quite a bit, for example. I think you could see some negotiation to put some of that money down the line. Like, will players defer it? And defer a chunk of it. Maybe not all of it, but some of it. Same reason. Because A, ownership might have some cash flow issues. And B, you know, the players might want it to be paid when there's less escrow. But yes, I do think all of this kind of stuff is going to be on the table. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see some of those conversations for sure.
What, how does that affect the future, though? If you're backloading so many contracts, you know, what is that going to mean? And what is that going to mean, whether it's 2 or 3 years down the road, and all of a sudden you have some of these backloaded deals that because you were trying to make things easier now?
What do you mean exactly by that? What would be the concern?
And I'm trying to explain it, I guess, the best way I can think it. But so if a player signs a 4-year deal and a majority of the money from a cap, and I know with the cap hit it has to be relatively even, but if a majority of the money is coming out towards the end of the contract, what does that do for a team at that point in time, 4 years down the road?
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. So basically there's a rule in the NHL that the highest year in a contract, so let's just say for a listener out there, let's just say for a listener, I sign a listener to a 4-year contract. One of the rules in the NHL is the highest and lowest years in terms of salary cannot be more than 50% apart. So if the biggest year of your salary is $10 million, the lowest can't be less than $5 million. That's one of the NHL's rules, unless they change it in a new CBA. That's one of the current rules. So, you know, that's one thing that happens. But now if you look at a lot of these deals, they're front-loaded, so A, people have the money sooner, and you can do whatever you want with it, invest or whatever. But also, that way, as a player gets older, and you maybe want to trade them to move them out, salary cap reasons, whatever the case is, it's easier to move them. The effect of this would be is that maybe it might get harder to move them as they get older because the payments are higher. That's probably the biggest negative, but again, these are unusual times, and we have to do things that maybe we didn't always like to do.
Yep, no doubt about it. Elliot, we appreciate the visit as always. You and the family continue to be safe, and we'll talk next week.
I did want to tell you guys that when I was talking to the commissioner of the AHL this week, or the president of the AHL, Dave Anders, I asked him, since Milwaukee had the best regular season, if they don't play a playoffs, will they declare Milwaukee the champion? And he laughed and said, no, we won't be doing that. So tried. I just want you
nice
guys
try.
To know I tried. I tried.
We had Scott
we'll
Nichol
to
on.
With, yeah,
we had
we'll
Scott
have to
Nichol
tell
on
that to
yesterday.
Scott Nichol.
Yeah, we could have given him some breaking news, but evidently that's not going to be the case.
No, I tried. I said, are you going to declare Milwaukee the champions? And he laughed and said, no, that's not happening.
Good stuff. Good way to end it. Thanks as always.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, you too. Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet and 31 Thoughts does great work covering the sport of hockey. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next. We said Nick Bonino had met with the media today via Zoom. We wanted to check in and hear a little bit of what Predators forward Nick Bonino had to say, or should I say center, depending on, center Nick Bonino. Let's hear what Bones had to say today to the media.
Nick Bonino, thanks for joining us today. If you just want to maybe start out with a little update on what you've been up to the last 5 or 6 weeks and how you're staying in shape, and then we'll open it up for questions.
Were we supposed to be staying in shape? No, it's been, to be honest, I feel like I'm in some of the best shape I've been in. It's funny, we got home from Toronto and it was, it was paused right away. So for me, it was straight into parenting. And that first week was trying to figure out when I would work out, because the kids are up, would get us up at 7 and then, you know, straight to 7:30. With them. So we've kind of figured out a schedule with them. My wife's awesome. Really, anytime I want to go work out or get anything done, she's very easy with that. So we got a Peloton right away and been riding the bike every day. I actually liked it so much. I went and got a road bike. I bike usually, like today, for example, I was out at 6:30 for an hour and a half, went up to the Cumberland River, the Greenway up there, and all the way through Midtown, McCabe, and home. So it was, it's a lot of fun. I'd never rode bike before and I'm learning. Our video coach Law took me out on a few rides. I was half a block behind him, just learning the ropes and today went out on my own. So trying to stay in shape, obviously lifting a bit in the garage. Got some workouts from David Good, but yeah, feel great. In pretty good shape, so I'm happy about that.
All right, Teresa apologizes virtually that she can't be there to ask the first question, but Kayla Anderson has decided to pick up the torch and do so. Thomas, can you please unmute Kayla? I don't believe I have the ability until you make me a co-host.
All right, can you hear me?
Yes, you're unmuted.
We got you.
Sweet. Hey, Nick, hope you're doing well. First, I wanted to touch on the Peloton really quick. I have one myself, but I know that a lot of athletes have been turning to that to kind of keep in shape. My first question is on that, and just how have you enjoyed that? I know there's a huge community there and a lot of instructors that you can kind of use throughout, you know, different sessions.
Yeah, it's been great. We heard about it so much and, you know, had never tried it. My wife was a college athlete, so we both wanted to get it. We both use it pretty much every day. Now that I'm on the road a bit more, road biking, I don't use it every day, but the days I don't ride outside, I'm on it. And it's been great. There's definitely a learning curve with it. You know, you watch that leaderboard and it's very competitive, I think. It can be as competitive as you want to make it, which I think is good for us as players because we're getting that competitiveness that we're not able to, you know, have an outlet for right now. We get it out on that leaderboard and as you get better at it, it's pretty funny. You kind of ride with the beat and you find the instructors that you're most comfortable with. But, you know, for now, we've loved it. My wife does the yoga. I haven't started that. I got to work on my flexibility before I jump into yoga, but she loves the yoga. We do core, you know, every day I'm there. It's a 10-minute core, 15-minute core. So that's great. So it has a lot of benefits and, it came really quickly, so we were lucky we were able to get it in about 8 days after the pause, and been very handy helping me stay in shape here.
All right, Justin Bradford, fire away.
Hey, Nick, thanks so much for doing this. Really appreciate it. So obviously life's very different being home a lot more, especially having a family as well. So what's the day-to-day been like for you, just being a dad and spending a lot more time with your family?
Yeah, it's been awesome. You know, I think people, you know, would say, well, we're used to this from the summer. But to be honest, in the summer, we have our own routines, too. You know, we're up at the gym. We're usually skating. All of our training that goes into it. So really, there's no going anywhere now, as you know. And we've never had a nanny, but we would have a babysitter who would allow us to go get dinners or if we wanted to go out during the day, maybe here or there. So obviously it's a lot different in that aspect. It's, you know, it's 13 hours a day and it's been kind of the silver lining of this whole thing. I love being around the girls, my wife and the girls. I assume they like having me around, I hope. It's busy days. We've tried to do more of a schedule with them, just some structure, whether it's, my daughter would do circle time at her preschool. So we would try to do some of that, playing a lot of Legos. I'll tell you that my Lego building has increased big time. And so has my daughters. They really enjoy that. So yeah, just staying busy, trying to get outside around the neighborhood, taking walks, going on scooters, riding the bikes with them, anything to stay busy. And they seem to like it. So it has been a silver lining of this whole pause and it's been fun.
All right, Brooks Bratton.
Hey, Nick, good to see you. I'm curious from a hockey standpoint, how have you viewed this in general? You go from a 3-game winning streak to you're stopped all of a sudden and no one's too sure what's next. So how do you view it from maybe personally you just playing and trying to get back on the ice at some point? And then for your team as well, what could possibly be next?
I think the best thing the league is doing now is just, you know, going 2 weeks at a time. There's so many unknowns with this that safety's first, and I'm 100% on board with that. I don't want to put myself in a position to either get the virus, pass the virus on to my family, to anybody. So we're, you know, as long as this goes, you know, safety first. That's the way we've looked at it. Hockey wise, yeah, it's almost crazy to think. I wouldn't have been able to tell you it was a 3-game win streak. I know we've been playing really well. We beat Dallas, Montreal, but it's just so far ago. Even in the summers, when you finish the season, you don't take however many 6 weeks off from skating. I definitely miss it, but you're never away from the ice this long. So it's odd. I'm sure everyone would use that word for it. But if we do come back this year, it seems like we'll have a lot of time to be able to ramp it up, whether they, you know, have the optional small area skates, small team skates, or even three, four weeks of training camp, I would think would be great just to get guys back in shape. So however they end up doing it, I'm sure they'll take our safety into it. But yeah, we'll see what happens next with that. But you know, we're not voting on anything now. It's just in limbo, and we're training, staying in shape in case we do come back.
All right, Kayla, back to you.
Yeah, Nick, going back to, I know March 15th, you put out a tweet, and I think it was really important for people to see that. It had come right after, I think, people were flocking downtown and crowding these bars. But why was that important for you to kind of come out and say, look, we need to take this seriously? This is a very serious virus.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I'm never one to get kind of controversial or political. And we were just sitting on the couch that day and, you know, seeing videos of people packed in Broadway bars. It was still really early in the U.S. I'm not sure how many cases there were, but it was just, I was just upset. I was frustrated that was happening. You know, everyone's at risk from this virus. There's more at-risk people, but everyone can get it. No one's immune. Everyone can pass it on. And I just felt like it was just silly that was still happening. So I felt like I was, you know, I hadn't seen really anyone say that message from the NHL yet. I didn't know if I should do it, but I just decided to do it. You know, it made me feel better just to have my thoughts out there, even if no one listened to them. And you know, it's, like I said, it's safety first. I think that's the thing I have. I've been hoping will rule the day. I think it has so far. You know, we're listening to health organizations. It's, I'm not sure how many more cases. We have over a million cases now. You know, 60,000 deaths now. It's not getting much better. So, you know, we want to keep everyone safe. That's why we paused. And I'm sure that they will take everything into account when they're making decisions moving forward.
All right, we'll throw in one from a season ticket citizen here that's watching on Facebook Live. This was from Chris Herr. Other than the obvious hockey, what sports are you missing the most?
Man, any sports, really. I love watching golf, especially now. I mean, we missed the Masters. That would have been probably the top of my list. March Madness was huge to miss. Even the NCAA hockey, you know, having played that, it's always fun to follow that tournament and watch what happens. So there's I think networks are doing, and the Preds are doing a good job of airing old games, just getting that out there, letting people see some great sports moments, getting into biking like I have now, into cycling. I've been watching a lot of documentaries on those, so those are something I would have loved, you know, with the Tour de France this summer and stuff like that. But yeah, obviously it's smart to have canceled all the, even baseball. When I think about it, I usually like just watching Red Sox games, but I would pretty much watch any baseball game now, any live sport. I'm sure it would capture people's attention. So that's definitely tough.
All right, Justin, you're up.
And Nick, I got to ask a follow-up since you mentioned Lego. Are there any certain sets that you've been focusing on? I know there's some pretty intense Lego sets out there. So are there any certain ones you're trying to build?
You know what? We get those little creator sets. So they've got maybe 100 pieces. It's a plane. It's a car. It's something like that. My daughters are only 4 and 2. So I don't think they have the patience yet for one of those big, you know, Harry Potter, Hogwarts Academy ones. But we watched that Lego Master show. I thought that was pretty entertaining, especially enjoying doing Lego. So we would watch that, and the kids would watch it during the day sometimes if we could throw it on for them and see the, you know, they were building some amazing things. So nothing huge yet. I don't know if I have the patience for it, to be honest, but it's definitely a bit therapeutic, I think, when you just sit there with the kids on the floor, you know, an hour turns into two, you're just building and just having fun with them.
Brooks, go for it.
All right, Nick, so we've heard Roman Josi say on a couple of occasions that you would be his top teammate to be stuck with in quarantine. Your response to that, and would you say that he would be your top choice?
Would Josi be my top choice?
Yes, would he?
He'd be one of the guys. I feel like I'm pretty close with Josi, so he'd be up there. Someone asked me this too. I think Hammer would be good. He's a smart guy. Him and Webby are the guys I usually eat with on the road, you know, pretty much every time. I know he enjoys wine like I do. He cooks. So he's a smart guy. He enjoys cycling too. I think he's been doing some mountain biking and, you know, he's got girls, three girls, just like I did. So maybe the girls would watch our kids one night and we could get a dinner without them. So I think there's a lot of pluses, and obviously his wife Sarah is really awesome. So I think it'd be a nice, nice family to be quarantined with for sure.
All right. Speaking of your work in the kitchen, let's go back to season ticket citizen Sarah Massey, who says, what kind of things have you been cooking during the quarantine?
I love to cook. So really anything. We're using Instacart. We haven't been to the store. So ordering a lot of fish from Whole Foods. If it comes in, I'll cook salmon and halibut, cook chicken, pork. We're trying to perfect a crispy tofu recipe that Lauren's sister does well. We're having some difficulties with it, trying to get that, but we eat everything here. Luckily my kids eat everything. My youngest Isabel won't eat anything without ketchup. So if I do make halibut or salmon, she dips in ketchup. Yesterday she was dipping chunks of avocado into ketchup and it works for her. So as long as she's going to eat it, we're going to keep giving it to her. But she didn't get that from me. I'm more honey mustard guy. But yeah, just keeping the kids fed well. That's the one thing in this too is, you know, we've been eating really well. We're very fortunate in that aspect. So just trying to keep the kids healthy and kind of switch it up just so it doesn't get repetitive.
This one from Sophia Alice. What's your favorite hot chicken?
My favorite hot chicken. So I'm not a real spicy food guy. I actually have never had Hattie B's yet. Haven't had any of the, you know, the Nashville legendary spots. I know it's bad, but I really enjoy the Poncho and Lefty's tacos, and they do a hot chicken one, a Nashville hot chicken one. That's spicy enough for me. So I'm not sure what that says about me, but I really like their tacos. That's the one I go to, but, you know, I could definitely have to try some hot chicken soon.
All right, one from Shannon Cyphers. When this is over, what's the first thing that you'll want to do?
Oh, play hockey, probably. Maybe hug family, hug friends that you haven't seen. You know, it's a tough question. I'm sure it's going to be different for everyone, but, you know, we're here in Nashville. There's no family around, so... for us, I'm maybe just, you know, seeing some close friends that we haven't seen and, you know, being able to shake hands with them, give them a hug, you know, really let our, maybe probably the biggest answer would be let our kids play with other kids. It's tough to explain to them, what's going on. You know, our kids are, we've tried to keep them as much out of the loop. They understand they can't go near people because we just say they're sick, but, yeah, they're pretty unaware and Lauren and I are kind of the opposite. We're very, very aware, hyper aware of the situation. So we're just keeping them away. So, you know, when this whole thing ends, it would be nice to see them playing with kids their age.
All right. Gentry Estes, thanks for joining us today. Fire away.
Yeah. Hey, Nick, you know, given that some of the safety concerns that you mentioned, do you feel like it will ever get to a point, you know, here in the near future where players will feel, or you would feel completely safe you know, being out there and playing, even if it's empty arenas, neutral site, or some of the options being discussed?
That's a great question. And, you know, I can't speak for other players. I know for me, you know, thinking about going back to play and blocking a shot and needing a surgery because I broke my arm or I broke my leg, you know, going into a hospital where, you know, the virus is and people have it, it's definitely in the back of mind. It's something that I'm not sure when it will be different. Maybe if there's a vaccine, I'm sure, I mean, I could get into, you know, everything we read about when vaccines will come, but yeah, it's tough to think about a point when it's going to be completely safe for us to play. I think that's the difficulty, you know, both the NHL and the PA face in making a decision. No one wants to play hockey more than us. We love it. It's our lives. But, you know, our health, I think the health of our families, the health of staff, trainers, their families comes first. And that's the way it has to be, regardless of money, of timelines, I think. So it's a tough question, but I can't give you a straight answer. When we will 100% feel safe, I think, you know, every 2 weeks, that's something that we have to evaluate and go from there.
You heard that PSA during that break talking about how everybody's been impacted in this country. I think the last time I looked, there was over 30 million people who were unemployed right now. And there's a lot of people who don't have those paychecks, and they can't afford to put food on their tables. And you can make a difference in this fight against hunger. And tomorrow, you will be able to text FEED 95819, text to 95819, FEED, and a donation link will be sent immediately to your phone. You can also donate to Radio Cares. org. I was looking at the map for Feeding America Emergency Radiothon, and currently the top city that has donated the most money is New York City. Number two is Minneapolis, and number three is Nashville, Tennessee. Pretty cool to see that. Dallas,
very cool.
Number four. So
good job, Nashville.
Keep up the good work, and hope a lot of you can keep helping out for a great cause. All right, let's talk a little bit about some things that were discussed, especially there at the end. You know, you can tell from that interview, Nick Bonino talking to the media, he is a family guy. He loves his family, his girls, his wife. And, you know, I brought this up yesterday when we were talking about how will, and we talked about this with Elliot Friedman, how will some of these guys, you know, and Nick is a prime example. It's more of the guys, and they've got guaranteed contracts, and guys that have made their money and have made good money, and, you know, have been fortunate enough to maybe be set for life or put themselves in a great position for the rest of their life with security and being comfortable. And those guys with families are going to have to think about, is this risk worth it? You know, how do they feel about that? As much as they love hockey, like Nick Bonino, he loves hockey. He's a smart hockey player. He's hockey through and through, but he's a smart dude, and he wants to make sure that, you know, he's not putting himself at risk. And it's going to be a risk for everybody. No matter what plan they come up with, it will still be a risk. So how do we think that is going to play out? You know, the PA is talking about that. There are just certain guys on basically every team. And Elliot even stated a prime example. Was it Bo Horvat? Who did he say? I don't remember who he said. Whether
Bo Horvat.
Wife, yeah, the wife is expected in June. And so how will they handle that if indeed that is the timetable where they're looking to, I guess, get back on the ice?
Well, one of the things I heard him say repeatedly was that he does not want to pass it along to family members. That's something that resonates, I think, with a lot of us, right? Who might be personally low risk, right? You might feel like, hey, yeah, I'm a pretty healthy person. I'm the right age. You know, I don't hit all the red flags. But certainly the thought of passing along to somebody who is and might really have trouble dealing with the virus is a big thing. And so I think Nick Bonino is thinking along those lines too, which he should. And I think the reality is, I think we all know.
That makes sense.
There's no way they can eliminate all of the risk.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody has to look at it that way. And if you're not, then you're being selfish. But, I mean, that's something that's been on my mind of, you know, I'm good. I'm probably in the age range where my body can fight it off. But I also, you know, I have parents that are over the age of 60. You know, what if I give it to one of them? I mean, that's something that has definitely been on my mind. And so I think that as a, you know, any player, especially ones with a family, I mean, and with us seeing it now, I mean, it puts it more in more of a perspective too, because so many of these guys are posting on social media, Instagram, of them with their kids and what they're doing during quarantine. I mean, that should hit it even closer to home of just how they think. So if somebody comes out and says, you know, look, I don't know if I want to resume, because what happens if I pick it up and I don't know it and I give it to my son or to my daughter or to my mom, or, you know, so I can totally understand that. And I think it would be very interesting if one of these guys came out and said, I'm not going to play because of those reasons.
Something I have been thinking about.
I think what we have to hopefully know, you heard Elliot say that really July might be the target. He didn't say that for sure, but that's what he's hinting at, right? Is that, you know, there's going to be a buildup, hopefully. And if they played July and August, maybe even into September, and started the following season in December, that's possible, I guess. And so then you start asking the question, how much can we know that we don't know today by June? You know, if you start to say May 15th, start getting back to your home city, start working out, then June will be some sort of training camp. And then we're going to hit the ground running late June, start playing in July. How much more advances can we hope to see in that period of time? That's several weeks,
I'd say,
right, of being able to
not a ton.
Test more people, figure out more.
I think it's a little probably naive. Go ahead, Darren. I just think it's a little naive to think that we're going to know a great deal more by then. I know that's a good, you know, what? It's not that long, actually. We're going to be going into – is tomorrow May 1st? I've lost track. Yeah, I guess tomorrow's May 1st.
Sure is.
Yeah, tomorrow's May. I think the answer is we won't really know any more than what we know sitting right here at the end of April. So,
in 2 months?
Well, you said – so you're saying in a month. You've got to know before you hit the ice more.
I'm saying July 1st.
Yeah, but you're going to be hitting the ice in June, because you're going to already be starting the process. So, no, I don't really think so. I mean, I don't think that's going to really change anything. I'll tell you right now, I've been thinking about it more and more, and this is just, obviously, I have no firsthand knowledge, and maybe you know a heck of a lot more to me, and maybe you can talk about it, maybe you can't. I don't know. We haven't discussed it off the air. The more I think about it, the more I don't think that there's going to be any media there present at all.
Really?
Any. Nope.
Okay, so what? They would, for the TV purposes or radio purposes, it would be done off a monitor?
Yep.
Interesting.
I think we'll all be doing it, and then players will still do interviews and still do stuff, but it's going to be exactly what they've been doing now. I just think you're going to have to limit. You can't – it stinks, but you're going to have to limit. You know, how many people, the less, the better, right? It just only makes things better. The more people, the more risk. So I think they are going to try to make it bare bones, pardon the pun, bare bones operation. I think the less is better. Less means less risk. And that's just my gut feeling. I don't have, obviously, any proof of that. And like I said, Willie, you may know behind the scenes a lot more than me, and maybe you can comment, maybe you can't. I don't get the feeling that there'll be any media whatsoever involved in these places. I think everybody's going to do it remotely, and I think these players and coaches will do interviews on Zoom, and That's way to, now that'll be for this resuming things. Could be totally different if indeed the season started back up in December. Totally different discussion. I'm talking about for the sake of, you know, June camp, whatever, July 1st, boom, away you go. And whatever that is, playoffs, finishing up the regular season. I don't know what, you know, like I said, I still don't even understand why we even have the regular season talk. But whatever their plan is, I don't think it includes any of us. I don't think the media is going to be involved. Any play-by-play people, color competition, I just think they're going to try to keep this thing bare bones. That's just less risk, less people around, less things to worry about. You guys may totally disagree, but those are my thoughts.
I don't know. I don't know anything. I have not had any conversations along those lines, but I would think that that's one of the last things that they will get to. I think from a player's, I think that's probably the last thing on Nick Bonino's mind when he's talking about it. I think it's more the interaction of the players, the locker room. That's the toughest thing. The media part, obviously the television aspect is going to be important because that's with no fans.
Sure.
The audience will be high and the quality is going to be important. Having the right amount of people, just like ESPN, how they constructed carefully who was in their studio and who was remote. But I would imagine they're going to have a lot of those talks. I don't know how much the players would be involved in those, but I would think that even if the announcers or whatever media is let into the building, per se, or the bubble, we probably won't be going near the players.
No, you won't. Yeah. No, there's no way you would be. You would be in your own bubble. You're not going to be having locker room access.
If
you're not going to be doing a skate up.
I think what
– No, definitely.
For pregame, now that stuff is going to be on the table. No.
I think what would probably happen is if they do these regional sites like they're talking about, then you'll probably just have one broadcast crew for each. And maybe that's a radio, maybe that's a TV. But they might come to Willie and Chris and say, hey – we want you to go to Minnesota and do that. Or they'll just use the Wild, you know, the Wild crew and just do it at those, if there's anything. But, Darren, you bring up a good point. You might be right. You might be onto something. But if they have anything,
Predators fans don't want to hear the Wild people doing their game.
Well, do they want to watch games?
Well, Willie, you can't do it remotely? Like, that's never been done. That's already
been done. You can, but if you're going to have somebody on site.
Like, we've already learned, thinking things can't – go a certain way, that's just toss it out the window. We've already seen it. But they can do it remotely. What why can't you pull that off? It absolutely, it's already
I'm not
been done.
You can't, but there's a big difference.
Well, there's a big difference with no fans in the stands. There's already going to be big differences. Well, that's stating the obvious, isn't it?
Sure, but I'm just throwing out an idea. Throwing out a scenario.
Nobody wants the other fans. Fans don't want other people's broadcast crews.
Fans want to go to games, too, and they're not going to be able to.
No, they're not. So, it's exactly
I think
right.
Anything's on the table.
Anything and everything. That will do it for our show today. A little bit better than yesterday. No loser talk at the end of the show. We'll finish up strong tomorrow. Who knows? We may tell you to even go vote for Willie in his bracket and just surprise him. Who knows? We may flood the polls in spite of his speech.
You guys didn't even comment on my video that I sent you.
I haven't had a chance to even look at it. I haven't had a chance to look at it. All right.
Have
a great rest of your day. Enjoy the fine weather. Be safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. See you then.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.